Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority, but its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Christmas Week edition of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy. So glad to have you. We have now made it. We have had 4 weeks of Advent. All of the candles are finally lit, much quicker than I think we'd all have expected. It seems it goes faster and faster each year. The kids, of course, are super excited. We ourselves are super excited. There's a lot of buildup. There's been buildup for weeks. The stores have been putting Christmas stuff out even for Halloween. I was at Lowe's the other day and they were sold out of Christmas even before Thanksgiving. There was just a few little knickknacks that were on closeout. But for the most part, everything was gone even before Thanksgiving happened. So we know that the anticipation for Christmas is pretty much like no other. We see some competition now these days with Halloween, Easter maybe in the same category for some, but Christmas, of course, stands out. Christmas, it has a much longer preparation period where everyone's getting ready for the big event. And of course, looking at it from a material perspective, of course, when people are getting things, they tend to be more excited. Hopefully, people are more excited about giving things, especially this year. This has been a tough year, a historic year, a lot of crazy things going on in the world around us, so many distractions, so many things that could take us away from our focus on our faith and our God and our church. But thanks be to God, here we are, a few short days away from the great feast of Christmas. So many traditions during this Christmas holiday season that build up to it. We know this year we went straight from Thanksgiving to the first Sunday of Advent, and then from there, of course, we have the Advent wreath, a great tradition that was primarily a Lutheran tradition, but became a Catholic custom going back to the early 1900s. So we see the lighting of the candles. We talked about the candles of faith and peace and joy and hope last week, and how many of these candles, these first three candles, can go out in our lives sometimes. The charity may disappear, the faith may disappear for a time, the joy, of course, and the peace can disappear, but as long as we hold to the candle of hope, and we certainly have reason to keep marching on, it is the season of hope. Our Lord comes with no delay. He is here just a few short days away, ready to give himself as the ultimate gift, the true giver and the gift. Going through Advent, we then run course and start to see the setting up of the nativity scene. We see, especially in the Catholic circles, that a return to maybe a more traditional practice where the child Jesus doesn't get laid until the manger, until Christmas Day. And we see this traveling of Mary and Joseph across the churchyard, perhaps, or in the church, making their way slowly from the back of the church to the front of the church. Eventually, they'll get to the manger. And then, of course, Christmas Day, our Lord is laid in the manger. And then we start to see the Magi. They make their way, coming across the churchyard or through the church as well. And they arrive for the Feast of the Magi. But building up through the month of December, we have the Feast of St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas is the true precursor to Santa Claus. The day takes on a different manifestation depending on the country, but it's often a time for children to leave shoes out, and their shoes can be filled with candy or a small surprise, and we see this even up to this day. It's a very big feast, even in Turkey and Greece, as well as Italy, where he is actually enshrined. After the Feast of St. Nicholas, we move to the Immaculate Conception, of course, December 8th. This is the conception of Mary and her mother, St. Anne. Many confuse this and think it is when Mary was conceived with Jesus, but we know that this is when Mary was immaculate conceived, so that she may be a perfect and pure tabernacle for our Lord. So the Immaculate Conception, of course, a feast during the time of Advent and preparation. We move then to St. Lucy. Feast of St. Lucy is celebrated on December 13th. Many people hold back from installing the lights on their trees. She was a martyr, and so there's a number of traditions that incorporate symbolic meaning to her as the bearer of light in the darkness of winter. She's also the patron saint of the blind, so we see the Feast of St. Lucy. Then, of course, we move through our weeks of Advent. Gaudete Sunday appears. We see the light of the third candle, the rose candle, the return to the rose vestments, a reminder of what it is we are preparing for. And then, of course, we arrive at Christmas Eve. The Christmas Eve Mass is one of the most beautiful Masses in the Catholic liturgy. It is typically celebrated at midnight or sometimes before midnight. It can be done in candlelight. And it's a wonderful time that as we welcome the Savior to be born and be amongst us. Although we don't have a specific day on which our Lord was born, it was often accredited to the winter solstice on the Roman calendar. St. Augustine, in his writings, said the date chosen to remember the birth of Jesus was on the day which is the shortest in our earthly reckoning and from which subsequent days begin to increase in length. He therefore who bent low and lifted us up close the shortest day, yet the one whence light begins to increase. So on the shortest day of the winter solstice during wintertime, it is fitting that he gives us light and increases the length of the day. He is true life and true light of the world. Moving from the Feast of Christmas, we go right into the octave of Christmas. So Christmas doesn't end on Christmas Day. Christmas begins on Christmas Day, and it's such a great feast that we celebrate it for another 8 days. But on the day after Christmas, we often celebrate the Feast of St. Stephen, who is the first martyr. He was a deacon who was stoned to death in the first century. So on the day of the octave of Christmas, we have the Solemnity of Mary, also known as the circumcision in older practices. The feast is a celebration of Mary's motherhood and dates back to the early days of Christianity. And then our Christmas season comes to a close on the Feast of the Epiphany, which is the 12th day of Christmas, so 12 days after Christmas, where the Magi eventually arrive at the stable in Bethlehem to adore and acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So there's usually an epiphany. There can often be an epiphany party, and traditional gifts are brought and exchanged to celebrate this feast day. And those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh are steeped in symbolism, the gold representing Jesus standing as King of the Jews, frankincense representing his divine nature, and myrrh is often used to embalm corpses, and of course, symbolic of his death on Good Friday. So we see such a huge amount of detail and fluidity during this Christmas season alone. We're just looking at the Christmas season alone, starting on Advent 1 and going through the Epiphany. So roughly 6 weeks, give or take, but chock full of tradition and order and symbolism and meaning that if we don't pay attention and we aren't following the liturgical cycle, we're going to miss them. These celebrations are paramount to the practice of our Catholic faith. I was thinking a little bit further about the traditions that surround Christmas time, and specifically some of the music that we'll hear. You know, of course, there are many stations around that they'll play Christmas music once Thanksgiving is here. But even tuning in on any of the Christmas stations on Pandora or the radio, the songs haven't changed much. We hear different singers singing the same songs, and we'll hear the same songs, and many of them seem to hover around the 1950s, maybe the 1960s. Of course, Rudolph and Let It Snow and I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas and Do You See What I See, and Little Drummer Boy, and some of these may go further back. But I started dwelling on this and thinking how rich the tradition is that we adhere to, even on a secular level. When it comes time for Christmas, not a lot's changed. Santa still comes around. He still looks the same. The reindeer, the snowmen, the lights that come up and decorate the house. If you really look at it, not a lot has changed. Some of the technologies have changed, and of course, some of the lights, you know, have gone LED, and you've got these adaptable lights and things like that. But overall, if you take a look at the mere cosmetic side of it, not a lot's changed. And I think that says a lot. I think it says a lot about what man naturally gravitates to. Man chooses order. Man prefers order. You know, if we didn't have these things that were not immovable and they changed every year, then you lose that. And I know modern man and modern society and our culture around us wants to destroy anything that's historic and anything that says tradition and adheres to anything that isn't dictated by modernity. And of course, we see these attacks because society doesn't want to say Merry Christmas any longer, even though the majority of people out there are going to celebrate Christmas. So they want to say Happy Holidays. They don't want to have any Christian symbols. They want to take down the nativity scene, take down Christmas trees and whatnot, and make it holiday trees. And you know the story. We know the story. We see the attack and on the outward expression of our faith. But there's clear evidence that the majority of people want to celebrate Christmas. They know what Christmas is, even though they may not celebrate it to the fullest. They may not be Catholic. They may not be Christian. But they hopefully have some understanding of what it is they are celebrating. So if we look at the mere cosmetics, the mere exteriors of the adherence to this tradition of Christmas specifically, we can correlate that with the expression and the need and desire of man to have stability in their life, primarily starting with God, the Father, our rock, the beginning and end of all things. We naturally want that. Yes, our fallen nature and sin struggles against us to tear it down and pull us away from that, but innately, inside of each one of us, we desire and crave and need that stability. Children need the stability in a home. They need to know that a mother and a father are there to love them and care for them, or another caretaker. They have to have the stability. Any child that's left to fend for themselves, we see it all the time when parents are not there. Even if they have a mother and a father in the same home, but their parents are not around, these kids raise themselves and they find out things they shouldn't find out, and they live and do things they shouldn't be doing. So we see that, but if they have stability, if you look at some of the most talented and disciplined athletes or actors or business owners, and you look at their family life, you will see above and beyond the ones who have a stable family life are the ones who are going to be successful as a whole. Of course, that's not taking into account exceptions. There are many exceptions and can rise up above their circumstances or their surroundings. But generally speaking, men or women who are raised in a stable home are going to have more of a stable life. Again, there are exceptions. I am an exception. Believe me, my parents were divorced. We had, you know, a lot of turmoil in my teenage years. I went off the rails. I got involved in all the wrong things. I hit rock bottom. I'm still here to tell about it, but it's only through my faith. And it only came through my faith because a few select people around me were strong in their faith and were able to be the rock for me to fall back onto. So yes, there are exceptions to bad surroundings and bad upbringings and trauma and abuse and you name it that this world will throw at kids. There are success stories, absolutely. So if we look at this stability that's required, let's just say in the home, the stability for spiritual health is the same. And when we have these practices and these stability and these traditions and this stability of our faith with the liturgy and the liturgical cycle and our involvement in the church and the practice of it with all of the extracurriculars and the interiors with the rosary, with morning prayer, evening prayer, adoration, attending Mass at least once a week, and trying, if possible, throughout the week. All of these are tools. All of these are tools to solidify the foundation and the structure of our faith. And so it's a beautiful thing to step back and even look at the secular view of Christmas and recognizing man's natural gravitation to that which is solid. We know we can count on Christmas. A lot of people live for Christmas. A lot of people may have a very bad rest of the year, but they know they can count on Christmas. Now, that's not a great way to go about it. If you put all your faith in just Christmas and nothing else is going on the rest of the year, you're probably up for disappointment. You're probably going to be expecting things that aren't going to go the way you want them to go. But if you're practicing throughout the year and you're moving with the church and moving with the faith and moving with the liturgy, you're on that path to consistency. And the church wants to provide that to you. God provides that to us through the church. So I felt it was an interesting point to bring up that all of these things that modern man will try and tear down, whether it's monuments, statues, names of buildings, names of highways, names of schools, anything that has a connection to a history, we only learn our future by our past. If we don't learn anything in the present, we can't put it to good use for the future. So if we try and ignore our past or our traditions, we blind ourselves to what we are called to in the future. There's a great quote by one of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry. "I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past." There's also a quote from Steve Jobs, the founder of Microsoft, who says, "You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. This approach has never let me down and has made all the difference in my life." Of course, that's a very secular view. He says your gut, your destiny, life, karma, whatever. Of course, we know we look to the history and the dots of our Lord. He's laid them out for us. The church continues to remind us year over year where what it is and where we should be heading. So it's not a question. It's not an unknown. It's very clear. If we stand and profess our faith every Sunday, then we reiterate this understanding. And we solidify this profound understanding of what it is we are doing and where it is, by the grace of God, that we will be going. Our traditions are very rich in the Catholic Church, longer than any other organization. The Catholic Church has withstood the test of time. We have the most ordered, organized religion that's ever been established, founded by our Lord Himself on the rock of St. Peter. No other institution has stood the test of time. It is the faith of the martyrs, the faith of our fathers. It is the faith that we adhere to and trust that will bring us one day to the eternal gates of heaven. This life is not easy. Every day we go from battle to battle. Sometimes we will lose these battles, but it's important to remember the war is already won. All we have to do is pick ourselves up and cooperate with grace. Yes, it sounds easier than it is to put into practice, but it is not a difficult thing. It just is a matter of the will. It is just a matter of looking to the candle of hope and to the star in the east, which give the same glimmer of life and light in this dark world to guide us on our path to the stable in Bethlehem, where we await the triumphant birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the end of every traditional Latin Mass, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 18, is read every single day. Even after the Mass, after having received our Lord and the holy sacrifice has taken place, the Church again reminds us and brings us back to the very beginning, almost to reset us. Yes, we were right there and we just went through the liturgy, but the Church, in its divine wisdom, again reminds us, because the timer starts over and it never stops. It resets every day. It resets every Mass. It is a continual reminder that we can always reset where we are spiritually. And we all fall, and we'll fall again and again and again. And St. Paul, my favorite, reminds us, the just man sins seven times. We're going to fall. But the church continually reminds us of where we come from and who we belong to. And if we follow the liturgy, even the liturgy does it. It resets. Even after the High Mass, even after the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary, the church again at the end of the Mass reminds us where it all came from. This gospel is also the gospel for Christmas Day. And it draws us in, and it reminds us and brings us through the entire creation story. It is why we are here and why he came. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Such beautiful words in our liturgy, such beautiful words by St. John, calling us back to the very beginning of where everything began and where we are being led. If this Advent has flown by, it's never too late. We just got through talking about all the great resets that our church and our faith offer. If you've fallen and you feel like there's nowhere to go, there's a place to go, and it's called confession. If you need to get back, it's a great time of the year. Start new. Let that be a New Year's resolution. Start off with confession. Start off with a few prayers each day. Make sure you're fulfilling your obligations as a Catholic, the minimal obligations of confession once a year, Mass every Sunday, tithing, fasting during the appointed times. Start it off right this year. Forget about cookies and giving up sweets and going on the next fad diet. Get on the faith diet. Fatten yourself up with faith. Fatten your soul with all the goodness that our Lord waits to give to us. I encourage you to get back involved. Follow the liturgy. Pick up a church calendar. All the churches give away free calendars every year, and all the feasts are there. Hang up your calendar. Follow along. Do some readings. Sign up for the emails. Get your readings each day. First step is always the toughest, but make it as small as you need to get back on the right track. It's a beautiful time of the year to celebrate with our faith and with our church to receive the great gifts that our Lord wants to give to us. And his only request is that we receive him. Look at the traditions that you and your family celebrate each year and keep around. They're important. They're important to establishing tradition and stability in your family. The church does the same. It honors and holds true all of the great traditions of the church over the years that have come and remained and been enhanced. Sometimes traditions of the church fall away, and then you'll see a resurgence when there's a resurgence in the faith or certain practices. The same will be true with our family. Some years we may celebrate a certain way and some a different, but we always come back to the basics. And I think that is what the church does. It maintains that stability, that consistency, that we know it will always be the same. It's important for our kids to realize that and to relate that. It's important for us as well to correlate that and see the importance of honoring our history and keeping our history alive through its practice, which pushes us into the future and the future closer to our Lord. A blessed Christmas to everyone. Thank you for your continued support of The Obligation and Carolina Catholic Media. A reminder that we are a listener-supported radio station, and we count on your support. If you get a chance, go online, www.carolinacatholicradio.org. Click that donate button, and we'd greatly appreciate it. Once again, a great thank you to our new sponsor, Harmony Home Solutions. They are your trusted partner, striving to enhance the lives of older adults and their families by providing premier aging-in-place and universal design lifestyle solutions that increase safety beautifully. You can find Harmony Home Solutions online at www.hhsclt.com. Just a reminder that the annual March for Life Charlotte is coming up on January 14th, 2022. Details for the march can be found online at www.marchforlifecharlotte.com. Gathering will begin at 11 a.m. in the parking lot at the corner of West Palmer and South Street across from the Diocese Building. We'll march downtown starting at 12 noon. This is a great opportunity to come out and stand for the sanctity of human life. Once again, that website, www.marchforlifecharlotte.com. Finally, if you haven't got your tickets for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas 2022 edition, you gotta do it. Go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Excellent speakers all day, including Catholic Answers' own Tim Staples, wonderful apologist and convert, EWTN's own Dr. Ray Grundy, the doctor is in. Keith Nestor has a great convert story. He's an author, speaker. Carolina Catholic Radio's own Dr. John Aquaviva, host of Faith and Sport, also professor at Wingate University. And of course, Bishop Jugis and the seminarians of the Diocese of Charlotte will be present for Mass. Confessions will be held all day, lunch provided. Beautiful day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Make sure when you go online to use the promo code RADIO and save $5. Once again, that website address, www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. If you have any questions or comments or like to come on the air and chat, we would love to have you. Send us an email at feedback@carolinacatholicradio.org, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, a very blessed Christmas season and New Year to everyone. Look forward to talking to you next week. For the Obligation Radio Show, the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas, and the Carolina Media Network, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and esto vir.